This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic every week, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science that are going to touch our lives and shape our destiny. And with us today, once again, is Dr. Carl Zimmer. He's a noted writer of science books. His latest book is called She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. He's also written a great book that I recommend, Evolution, Making Sense of Life. And he's also written a book that is quite relevant to today, and that is A Planet of Viruses. And he writes for, among others, the New York Times and Discover Magazine. So today we're going to talk about the science behind the coronavirus. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have about 3 million fans on Facebook. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest New York Times bestseller that I wrote is called The Future of Humanity, talking about perhaps one day we will go to the stars. We're going to go back to the moon. We're going to go to Mars, perhaps to the outer planets of the solar system, and who knows, maybe one day touch the stars themselves. But today we're going to go right back to the planet Earth, because right now we're being ravaged by a killer virus. So it's very important that we differentiate hearsay, rumor, conspiracy theory, and the truth about what is known and not known about science. And that's why, once again, we brought on Dr. Carl Zimmer, adjunct professor at Yale University, author of a new book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. So, Carl, once again, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
First question for you, once again, is when you were a young kid, what inspired you to go into science and specifically biology?
I should point out, first of all, that I'm a writer. I'm not a scientist. I don't have a PhD. But certainly I was always interested in science. It tickled my curiosity, you know, whether it was black holes or the brain. I just always enjoyed it as a kid. And then I guess I was just lucky to be able to explore that starting at Discover Magazine. That's where I first became a science writer. And, I think biology appealed to me most of all just because it had the most surprises to me. I mean, it just seemed like biologists kept discovering things that just kept blowing my mind. You know, just basically every week I would come across some new study or I'd say, I can't really believe that I'm reading this. And it really hasn't stopped since.
Okay, well, let's get right to the question of the coronavirus, specifically the origin. First question, isn't it true that most diseases come from animals? And in some sense, as humanity expands, we trespass on the ancient grounds that were infected by viruses, and they sometimes mutate and then hop over to humans. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, we have had a series of diseases sort of spring on the scene in recent decades. Often they are caused by viruses, and the question naturally comes up, well, where did this come from? HIV, for example, we became aware of it in the 1980s, and suddenly everyone said, what is this thing? And, you know, HIV has killed over 30 million people worldwide, and no one knew about it before about 40 years ago. We know pretty clearly where that came from. It came from chimpanzees. It was a virus that lives inside chimpanzees, and due to hunting in Central Africa, it jumped the species barrier and it became a human virus. And that story has repeated itself over and over and over again, whether it's Ebola or SARS. And now this new coronavirus, which causes COVID-19, is following that pattern. It started in bats.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The horseshoe bat, I understand, its genes are very similar to the genes of the coronavirus, so maybe it hopped from the horseshoe bat to the pangolin to the humans. However, the question is, where did that take place? Did that take place in one of the wet markets where they sell exotic animals and people bid and eat these animals, or was it something more nefarious?
Well, you know, we're going to have to basically explore that the way, you know, detectives try to reconstruct a crime scene. We're going to have to go back and try to put clues together. Right now, there isn't any evidence of some sort of nefarious bioweapon or anything like this. This looks like your standard issue bat coronavirus that happened to have evolved the ability to get inside of human cells. And then once that happened, it adapted to its human host. Now, did it happen in a wet market, as you say? It's possible, but the earliest cases in Wuhan don't seem to have been associated with their wet market. So it's going to be tough to figure out exactly how this happened. But like I said before, this isn't the first time that viruses have spilled over. This is part of a pattern. And so it's probably better for us to kind of try to fit this into the bigger pattern of spillovers, because we're going to have to be ready for the next one. There will be another one, unfortunately, after this. We have to be ready for this in the future.
So to be ready for the next one, we have to understand the origin of this one. And if the horseshoe bat was the origin of the coronavirus, some people say that at the wet market, they didn't have horseshoe bats there at all. That the only place where you had horseshoe bats were in two virus laboratories outside the city of Wuhan. And it was kind of coincidental that there was a wet market there. But what are your thoughts? Some intelligence analysts are now saying publicly that perhaps it was an accident. Perhaps the Chinese were tinkering with the virus that afflicts horseshoe bats, and it crossed over. But what are your thoughts? Any evidence one way or the other?
I don't think there's any compelling evidence of that. I mean, certainly there are Chinese researchers who study these bat coronaviruses. They were the ones who published the data that showed us what this virus is. They were the ones who published the genome of this virus, and they've been working ever since SARS on trying to understand the diversity of these coronaviruses that live in bats. We really depend on them for a huge amount of our understanding of these coronaviruses in general. So I think it's really unfair to these scientists to come up with these conspiracy theories without any compelling evidence. How this exactly happened, again, we don't know. The challenge is that there are lots of these viruses. There are lots of variations of these viruses circulating among these bats and many other bats and many other animals. And you mentioned pangolins. So we have this huge diversity of viruses we have to contend with in order to figure out how this crossover happened.
Now, I understand that bats are kind of special in the sense that, well, they are a mammal, but they're literally flooded with different kinds of viruses, but they have a very strong immune system to ward them off. We, unfortunately, do not have such an evolved immune system. But what are your thoughts? Is it an accident that it's the bat, or maybe it's because the bat has evolved to have such a strong immune system to ward off so many different kinds of viruses? Well, let's take a short commercial break, okay? And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion with Dr. Carl Zimmer. He's the author of a book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, about heredity. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on the show. 612-564-8135 is the number to call.
is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we have with us on the line Carl Zimmer, adjunct professor at Yale, author of a number of great books that I highly recommend. His latest book is called She Has Her Mother's Laugh: The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And he's also the author of a book that I highly recommend, Evolution, Making Sense of Life, and a book that is quite relevant today, A Planet of Viruses. Well, Carl, I understand that when the virus first jumped on the world stage, people underestimated exactly how lethal and how easily it spreads. There's something called R0. The number of people that an infected person can then reinfect to other people. As I understand, most viruses, like the flu, has a R0 factor of about 1.3. So any individual can infect maybe 1.3 on average other people. But I understand that this virus is much more easy to spread. It has an R0 of maybe 5 or 6, making it perhaps 5-6 times more easy to spread. What are your thoughts?
So yeah, this R0 or R0 is a really important part of epidemiology in terms of understanding how a disease spreads. And as you say, some viruses might on average infect one or two people. Actually, measles is incredibly contagious, and it's been estimated to have this R0 of anywhere from 12 to 18. So you only can figure out what the R0 is of a virus by just observing. And this is a brand new one, and it's spreading in different environments, and so people are getting different estimates. The latest one estimates I've seen is that early in an outbreak, when it, you know, hits a country that hasn't really prepared for it, it might be around 4.4. But as you make it harder for the virus to go around, the R0 goes down, and that's the strategy of our lockdown. So in Washington State, for example, it looks like their early lockdowns have actually driven the R0 down to about one or maybe less, which means that it's actually the outbreak is actually shrinking. That's where we all want to go.
Okay, and there's also something about lethality, that is, what fraction of the population is killed by the virus. I understand that flu kills maybe 0.1% of those people that are infected by the flu, but this virus can kill perhaps 1% to 2%. In other words, 10 to 20 times more lethal than an ordinary virus. But, well, what's the latest information about this?
Well, certainly, when you listen to doctors in places like New York who are encountering this virus for the first times in their career, people who are used to dealing with the flu, they'll tell you this is not the flu. This is way more dangerous. They get people coming in with lungs just collapsing. It's quite frightening, and it affects a lot of other organs as well. So no one should just pretend that this is just the flu. Some people will get it and not even know they have it. Some people will have mild symptoms. Way too many people are going to have really serious symptoms. They'll either die or they're going to have lifelong problems as a result. But this is a very serious virus that none of us should take lightly. In terms of the fatality rate, there are estimates. It's a bit like R0 where, they're still trying to make the estimates. And it depends on the quality of medical care that people are getting. So it's perhaps 10 or 20 times more deadly than the seasonal flu. We don't have a good handle exactly on how many people are actually getting infected because we're way behind on testing. So we need to test more. And it's also difficult to know just how many people are dying because a lot of people are dying at home. And whether they are dying of COVID-19 or, say, a heart attack and they just didn't want to go to the hospital, we're going to have to sort that out later. So that fatality rate is going to be subject to a lot of research in the future.
Now, I understand that the Spanish flu virus of 1918 has been actually recovered from the cadavers of people that were buried in mass graves in Alaska and Canada, frozen for 100 years. Scientists thawed out the virus, sequenced it, and found out that the reason why it killed so many people was because that it elicited pneumonia-like symptoms that stimulated an overactive immune system, and you basically drowned. You basically drowned in your own bodily fluids trying to fight off the Spanish flu virus of 1918. So what about this virus? I mean, it's a molecule. It's a collection of molecules. And how can a collection of molecules kill you? Is it the fact that the body overreacts and floods itself with fluids and mucus and stuff, and you basically die of oxygen deprivation? How does it actually kill you?
This phenomenon is sometimes called the cytokine storm. Cytokines are signals that the immune system uses to mount an attack. And when it works well, you have a very precise attack against your enemy, in this case, the viruses themselves. But it seems that for some people, and we don't really know why, after maybe a week or 10 days, of being sick, the immune system flips and starts to overreact and create all this inflammation, and that damages the lung. It makes it harder to breathe. It does fill the lungs with fluid and can be fatal. There are trials going on right now with drugs that sort of dial down the immune system a little. And the hope is that maybe in the future, doctors can save people's lives simply by sort of tamping down the cytokine storm, because it's not helping you recover. It's actually killing you.
Now, there's no cure for the coronavirus yet. We don't have a vaccine, but there are some therapeutics which are kind of controversial. People go back and forth. But are there any therapeutics that you think are promising, given the fact that none has the smoking gun? None has been found to be 100% effective. But are there any therapeutics that show promise?
There are literally dozens of compounds that, if you put them in a dish that has infected cells in them, you know, infected with this coronavirus, they'll stop the virus. That's great, but it's a long way to go from killing viruses in a dish of cells to curing a human being of a disease. And so, you know, ultimately, what we need are experiments. Some of them will be done in animals, such as mice or ferrets, and then some of them are actually being carried out right now in people. They have to be clinical trials. They have to be randomized trials. They have to be big trials so that we actually know that these drugs help. You know, just because some one person takes a drug and gets better doesn't mean that the drug made them get better. They could have just gotten better on their own. And there may be cases where overall a drug is actually more harmful than helpful. We don't have those answers yet, unfortunately.
Now, scientists, of course, prefer to have double-blind studies and months, years and years of publications before we say that, aha, this thing works. And some of these things may have side effects. But some people say, well, the side effect of this virus is death. So if you have a choice between a virus whose side effect is death versus a therapeutic whose side effects is kind of, you know, minimal, and who knows, maybe it has some benefit, no one knows for sure, isn't that choice a legitimate choice? I mean, what are your thoughts about somebody doing the calculus, realizing that this virus can kill you, and yet there are some therapeutics that show promise, never been proven totally effective, but what do you got to lose? What are your thoughts?
I think what do you got to lose is a terrible way to deal with a pandemic. I know President Trump has used that phrase. I think that's entirely the wrong way to go about trying to save lives. You know, this is not a game. People's lives are on the line. And, you know, you can look at it, some tiny little study with like 10 people.
Take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion with Carl Zimmer, author of the book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh. And if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can ask that question on national radio. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump has revealed federal guidelines to reopen the United States. The three-phase plan would be led by state governors making decisions about their economies and based on hard, verifiable data.
We're opening up our country, and we have to do that. America wants to be open.
And Dr. Deborah Birx has said that it's almost time to open America, but not quite yet.
To all of you that are out there that would like to join together, together and just have that dinner party for 20. Don't do it yet.
All of this news comes as Chinese authorities are now admitting the death toll in Wuhan, thought to be where the coronavirus outbreak first began, is more than 1,300 higher than previously announced, according to their state media, an over 50% increase. For all of your news and other coronavirus updates, keep it right here at USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Yuseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we have with us on the line Carl Zimmer, adjunct professor at Yale, author of a number of great books, including She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. Also one of my favorite books, Evolution, Making Sense of Life, and also A Planet of Viruses. And today we're talking about the science of the coronavirus. Where did it come from? How do we fight it? What's the end game in this whole process? Well, Carl, we talked about different kinds of therapeutics, but there's one therapeutic in Asia that hasn't been getting any publicity in the West, and that's BCG. It is a vaccine that children in Japan, for example, get universally. Every Japanese person is vaccinated for BCG to protect against tuberculosis, but it's not common in the West. And some people say that it has some, again, who knows for sure, some marginal protection against the coronavirus. Have you heard about this or any other thoughts about therapeutics?
This was an intriguing idea. I first heard about it from researchers at the Max Planck Institute in Germany. And basically, as you say, there's this vaccine that was given for tuberculosis, if I recall correctly. And it's, you know, in some countries it's pretty widely used. It's not used much in other countries where tuberculosis isn't a problem. It's possible that it gives some sort of overall boost to the immune system, which might turn out to be helpful against viruses like the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. It's kind of an open question, and there are active studies going on right now to really see if that holds up. Right now, it's just the evidence is just it's more sort of like, well, this could make sense, it's plausible, we can think about how this might work, but we'll have to wait for more definitive tests to see if that is important. What's nice is that it would be great if that was true, because that vaccine is just well established, produced in huge amounts, just ready to go. And even if it didn't, 100% prevent you from getting the virus, if it could just reduce the rates, that would be great for public health overall.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you an oddball question that I sometimes get, and that is the question of pets. We talked about the fact that most diseases originally come from animals, hop over when they mutate to humans, but can it go from humans to dogs, cats, and tigers? What are your thoughts?
Well, in the Bronx Zoo, they did find that a couple of their big cats did actually end up with the coronavirus. Scientists have found the virus. They found it in dogs and in cats, but there's no evidence that people are catching the virus from their pets. And they don't even seem to really, especially dogs, don't seem to get sick at all. This is a common pattern with viruses. They can get into a fair number of species, but once they're there, they may not be able to do a very good job of making copies of themselves. So then you don't have to, that means that you don't have to worry about, getting sick from your cat or your parakeet or your goldfish. There's no evidence of that. It's different than other diseases. Rabies, if a rabid dog bites you, you better go seek medical help. Doesn't seem to be the case here.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Carl Zimmer, adjunct professor at Yale, author of the book She Has Her Mother's Laugh, also A Planet of Viruses. And if you want to ask a question on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. And maybe your thoughts will be heard on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Once again, this is Professor Michio Kaku, Professor of Theoretical Physics, and this is Science Fantastic. Our special guest today is Carl Zimmer, adjunct professor at Yale, author of a number of great books. His latest one is called She Has Her Mother's Laugh, about heredity. And we're talking today about the coronavirus and the damage that it has inflicted on the human race. Well, one tiny glimmer of hope is antibody therapies. That is, people who recovered from the coronavirus have antibodies circulating in the plasma of their blood, which can be extracted and then injected into somebody who is afflicted with the coronavirus. It's not a new technique. It's been around for 100 years since the 1918 Spanish flu. But what are your thoughts? People are just beginning to get injected with antibodies from recovered victims of the virus, right?
Yes, that's right. They are basically just grabbing plasma from people and who have survived and seeing if putting those into sick people can help them. And you know, this is actually a very old technique. It's I believe like 60 or 70 years old since people first started using it. And the basic concept has been shown to work. A downside is that one person is only going to be able to help a relatively limited number of sick people. And so ultimately what you'd want to do is you'd want to say like, okay, well, what, which antibody in that person's plasma is really doing all the work? And then how can we mass manufacture that? Like, and then you could start giving people large amounts of this one antibody, which works really well and can really help to lower the virus in sick people.
Okay, now also let's talk about the end game. I mean, where is it going to wind up? I mean, what kinds of scars would it leave on society? Will a vaccine work? And if it does, can we open up the economy? Or maybe we'll open up too quickly and have a second wave, which would be disastrous. So what are your thoughts as the months go by? There's no cure until we get a vaccine, and that's still iffy. What are your thoughts about where this is going to lead us?
You know, that's the big question. People just have to remember that this problem isn't going to go away just because we've gotten tired of it. It's a big problem. It's a global problem, and we have to marshal all our energy to get past it. And you know, we know from the 1918 flu that, you know, global pandemics, they may fade back a little and then come back with a vengeance. And so, you know, we have to, as a society, be testing. We have to be tracing sick people. We have to be ready for a flare-up if we start to open up society again. You know, the virus will still be here, and there'll be lots of vulnerable people, and so we have to be ready for that. Now, my hope, and it's a hope, is that soon we will have some of these antibodies and antivirals that will help people who do get very sick. Other people will just have to sort of, you know, ride it out at home or in some other way. And then ultimately we'll have a vaccine. And I do think we will have a vaccine. It's just a question of how soon it'll get here.
Now, some people are talking about herd immunity. Some people are saying, well, let's let it rip. Let it infect all of society. Everyone will eventually get immunity to it, and the weaker ones will die. But that's just, well, Darwinian evolution. What are your thoughts about herd immunity? And whether or not a vaccine could give us an alternative to herd immunity. But what are your thoughts?
I think that it would be inhumane to just let this virus roar through the world. I just think that's the amount of deaths we'd be talking about would be staggering. And it would have a huge harmful impact on the economy and the society at large. So I don't accept that. And you know, I don't, none of the experts I've talked to think that that's any sort of reasonable solution.
Commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to have your thoughts heard on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or website, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio with your comments. Give us a call.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist those two will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Carl Zimmer, adjunct professor at Yale, author of a number of great books that I recommend. His latest book is called She Has Her Mother's Laugh: The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And he's also written the book Evolution, Making Sense of Life. And once again, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is about the space program called The Future of Humanity. But today we're going to go back to the planet Earth and ask the question, what does it all mean if we have a killer virus on the loose without a cure for it? Now, some people point to the Great Depression, and the Great Depression generation became very frugal, and they began to become very conservative and husband their resources and money very carefully because they witnessed the Depression and World War II. But their kids went bananas and gave us the 60s generation. So, Carl, do you think that this virus will leave an imprint on the psychology of society, that perhaps we won't shake hands in the future? Perhaps we'll be more mindful of the viruses that lurk? Perhaps maybe we won't have gigantic sporting events? But, well, what are your thoughts about some of the lasting effects of this crisis?
I do think that it is going to have some big long-lasting effects because, I mean, I'm hoping that society will open up somewhat in, let's say, the months to come, but we really will not get back to something like what felt normal in 2019 and for maybe 2 years. And that's a long time. You know, a lot of kids, you know, like my kids in high school and college, their educations have been disrupted. You know, work has been disrupted. I think this will cast a very, very long shadow into the future.
And it's sometimes said that every generation has to face existential crises. I mean, like my grandparents had to worry about the Great Depression and the World War and stuff like that. I had to worry about the Vietnam War because I actually went into the military for 2 years and people were dying. So it was an existential choice about whether to fight, go to Canada or whatever during the Vietnam era. But then the question is, what about this virus? Are we going to change some of our habits? Like, for example, the handshake. It was asked to Dr. Fauci whether or not we should ban handshakes. And he thought that, well, you know, not a bad idea. Of course, it's not official policy or anything. But he was just musing that, well, perhaps certain customs have to be abandoned, like a handshake, which would actually reduce not just the coronavirus, but the ordinary virus as well. But, well, what are your thoughts?
Well, I certainly don't plan on shaking anyone's hand anytime soon. It's not that I have any ill will towards them, but I don't want to get sick and I don't want to transmit a sickness to them. So I don't know about general policy, but for me, handshaking is out.
And what about a second wave? If you take a look at Korea, for example, South Korea, they instituted contact tracing of individual clusters very early and were able to stop the massive spread of the coronavirus into the population by isolating certain churches and certain groups that were spreading the virus. So, but that was contact tracing at a very high level. If we started to open up the economy and try to, quote, go back to normal again, some people think that, well, you know, we'll fall back to our, you know, wasteful ways and start to shake hands and kiss people on the cheek and start to sneeze and cough, and we'll have many spikes, like what happened in 1918, which the second spike in 1918 was actually bigger than the first spike. But what are your thoughts? Do you think we'll go back to our bad old habits?
That's a good question. I guess I would bet that we would. I mean, you know, people like to go to baseball games. People like to give people hugs and so on. And I think we will start to think like, oh, well, okay, it's not that bad out there. And, you know, I haven't heard about it recently, so it's okay. I'll be fine. I can do it this once. And, you know, maybe you don't get sick that one time and then you just keep pushing it. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, this particular pulse right now where every day we hear the sad news of so many people dying, maybe that will, you know, make a mark on people enough to make them realize that this is a really serious enemy that we're fighting against, and the fight is far from over.
Now, also, the question of social distancing, it could have a lingering effect because, of course, we want to be separated by 6 feet if someone is infected or potentially infected. But there's a new study coming out from different places saying that aerosolized droplets, that even at the size of a cell, like perfume is an aerosol, and that viruses can ride on tiny little aerosol, smaller than the usual droplet that you get by sneezing, and that could stretch not just 6 feet, but 20 feet. So what are your thoughts about the fact that perhaps we underestimated the way in which this thing could spread? Most of it, of course, is still spread within 6 feet. But some of it could spread up to 20 feet. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is the scientific process. I mean, we're getting to know a virus that we never encountered before, and scientists are working as hard as they can to figure it out. And that's the way that science works. You know, they make initial conclusions, and then they do more research, and then they discover, oh, we weren't quite right. So, yeah, there could be some risk of longer distance transmission. So we're going to have to be thinking about masks, face shields, things like that.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Once again, our special guest today has been Carl Zimmer, author of a number of great books, including She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And maybe you can have your thoughts heard on national radio. So give us a call and take care.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 8th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 29th to June 1st. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, leading-edge science, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend offers lectures and workshops, exciting panels, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts including Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, Stephen Greer, Emery Smith, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and many important researchers and scientists from all over the world. With the breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. Contactinthedesert.com.